May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Breeze Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is future priest Kiefer Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's my privilege and honor to present to you our first speaker, the future priest and priestesses, now entering the sanctuary. I will now present to you the first speaker, future priest, son of Yisrael Abel, future priest Barzillai Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. My topic for today is vengeance and retaliation. Now, I looked up the word vengeance on dictionaryreference.com, and it means infliction of injury, harm, humiliation, or the like on a person by another who has been harmed by that person. An example of this would be school shootings. A child is bullied and in return brings a gun to school and shoots the one bullying him. I also looked up the word retaliation in dictionaryreference.com, and it means returning like for like. An example of this is if you steal from me, I'll steal from you. That's the mentality that the world has today. If you turn over to Genesis 4:15, Genesis 4:15, it's on page 3, and it says, "And Yahweh said to him, it is established, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him." We see that vengeance is the way and character of Cain. The same character that will bring forth one third of man killed over a fourth part of the earth in and around the Great River Euphrates. Can I have my video? As you saw in that video, that was the way of the kings of the east. Now if you could turn over to Matithiah 26:52, it's on page 756. Then Yahshua said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take the sword will die by the sword." Yahshua Messiah was against the way and character of Cain. He taught the way and character of peace, the peaceful solution character education program. He also taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves in Matithiah 19:19. Now in the self-control unit, in the preface, it says, "I remember very early in my childhood, even before my school years, things my parents taught me that actually guided my interactions with others. One statement that I heard more than once from my father in the face of some frustrating events was, 'Son, two wrongs do not make a right.'" Also on page 106 of the self-control unit, page 106, it says, "President Lincoln once said that it's bad enough when one fool loses his head, It's double bad when two fools lose their head. In conclusion, we must have the character of Yahweh, Yahshua, and Yisrael Hawkins being peaceful at all times, not showing vengeance and retaliation for others. And now if you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to one of the sons of Yisrael Hawkins for prayer.
I'll turn it over to the great Deacon Tovia, the great son of Yisrael Hawkins, Deacon Tovia.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated on this wonderful Sabbath day. So today we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, these war-raging nations, and I'd like you to keep in mind about, you know, how pastors talked about, how Malachi Martin, how he talked about in his book, The Keys of This Blood, about this three-way battle that's going on between Russia and the Pope and the Catholic Church and the United States, okay? And you can see it in the news, you know, they're all trying to get their you know, weapon systems in place, which, you know, and all their defense systems and their weapons ready for this standoff, okay? I'm going to start off here, though, talking about Russia, okay? Russia has agreed to sell Iran a missile defense system, okay? This is an S-300. It's an older system, but they've agreed to sell this. You know, they're still under sanctions, Iran, you know, but they've agreed to sell this to them by trading oil. You know, you'll give us so much oil, we'll give you this many weapon systems, okay? Well, this has got the U.S. worried because this missile defense system can actually take out a ICBM, okay? So it says, Putin lifts Russia's ban on delivery of the S-300 missile system to Iran. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday cleared the way for the delivery of the sophisticated air defense system to Iran with a decree that U.S. officials warned could disrupt the emerging deal to prevent Tehran from developing nuclear weapons. Now, keep in mind, at the same time, the U.S. and six other countries are trying to make a deal with Iran saying, you're not allowed to have nuclear weapons, okay? So Russia is kind of going in the back here doing this, and this is, you know, kind of making the U.S. upset here. The announcement drew immediate criticism from the U.S., where the State Department spokeswoman Miranda Hath said recent destabilizing actions on the part of Iran and Yemen and Syria and Lebanon suggested that it isn't time to be selling these kind of systems to Iran. Okay, so they're saying that, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be selling this system to them. But offering to resume arms sales to Iran, Putin has potentially positioned Russia for a head start over the nations in restoring trade links with Tehran. A deputy foreign minister recently told Russian lawmakers that an oil for goods barter deal with Iran also was in the works as a result of the perceived erasing of the nuclear standoff between Tehran and the West, okay? So what's the cost of this S-300? Okay, now there's two more models that Russia has came out with now, the S-400 and the S-500, which the S-500 is coming out next year, but it's actually supposed to rival the U.S.'s missile defense system, okay? Russia's plan to sell the S-300 to Iran reportedly involved the transfer of five platoon sets for $800 million, okay? Some sources said as much as $1 to $1.2 billion, okay? Now, each one of these comes with 120 missiles, each one of these defense systems, okay? And what they're saying is, you know, this is old technology. Russia doesn't need it anymore. They're selling it to everyone. you know, they have their new, okay, but here's their new system, okay? Russia's military is putting the finishing touches on its very own heavy military UAV. The drone is part of a wider monitoring effort with the cutting-edge flagmanship of the S-500 missile system coming in 2017. The Russian government expects to release several innovations and upgrades to the near future as part of its defense modernization system. And it's in their it's in the final stages, okay? The new S-500 is rumored to be able to engage 10 missiles at once and has a refined radar system as well as make speeds up to 4.3 miles per second. It is also expected to rival the U.S. tech, which currently trouts the RAS-300 Patriot missile defense system. In 2015, the test of the missile is expected for shipment by 2020, according to the senior official. The missile is capable of delivering a 10-ton payload. The super-heavy liquid-propelled intercontinental ballistic missile, okay? This is an intercontinental ballistic missile intercepting an intercontinental ballistic missile, okay? They can pretty much stop it as soon as it takes off. Has also received upgrades. And they have a little quote here. It says, it will be able to fly over the both North and South Poles. Okay? So you can see the technology is, you know, and this is worrying the United States because they just sold their old missile system to Iran. And, you know, that kind of causes problems for the U.S. The new Russia S-500 is rumored to be able, I already read you this. It's a big deal, okay? Now, moving on here, I want to talk to you just a little bit about what occurs when they destroy a nuclear weapon in outer space, okay? And, you know, the only people to have tested this is the U.S. and Russia. They've tested it 22 times. They've exploded a nuclear weapon in outer space. They've had some failures, but they were able to, you know, complete the task. The highest was 135 miles into the atmosphere they tried this. Okay, what the outcome was, it was pretty shocking to them. But the only nations that did it was Russia and the Soviet Union. It started in 1958, okay? And what occurred was they found out that it didn't just, as they found on the ground, it actually grew twice as fast and was twice as big and irradiated more, twice the amount of area, okay? So without the air and all these things, the nuclear weapon was twice the size of what they had, the one they had detonated on the ground, okay? So moving on, y'all heard about this aircraft carrier they sent to the Gulf of Aden, okay? This is right outside of Yemen down there in the Gulf. The U.S. has sent these aircraft carriers down there, okay, and to block the Iranian arms shipments to Yemen rebels. The U.S. aircraft carrier was dispatched to the waters off Yemen on Monday to join the American ships prepared to block any Iranian weapon shipments to Shiite Houthite rebels fighting in Yemen. The Navy officials confirmed to Fox News that the USS Theodore Roosevelt, along with its escort ship, the USS Normandy, okay, remember these two ships, I'm going to talk a little bit about them, a guided missile cruiser left the Persian Gulf on Sunday en route for the Arabian Sea to help enforce the blockade of a massive ship that carries F-A-18 fighter jets. The Roosevelt is seen more of a deterrent and a show of force in the region. Okay, so what they're doing is they're sending these ships here, they're displaying this power, okay? They're saying, you know, we've got these ships here, and, you know, we're going to use them if you try to pull in to Yemen with these other ships. Now, there's a total of 9 Iranian ships, and they're not sure what they're carrying on these. They think it's weapons, but they don't know. And they're kind of trying to secure the whole area, but what they're actually doing with that the aircraft carrier is the technology that they're able to surveillance and radar is massive. Okay, they can pretty much survey that whole Gulf of Aden right there. Okay, it's a huge area, but they can actually pick up all the ships coming in and out of port there, and so it allows them to see what's going on. Okay, So that's, it's not just, you know, that they're going to board these ships, but the tensions are really, they're drumming everything up because Iran's, you know, they're worried if they board Iran's ships, there's definitely going to be a confrontation between them. But let me tell you just, now, these ships that Iran has sent, they're not armed, they're just vessels carrying supplies, okay? There is a Navy presence, Iranian Navy presence in the area, but they're not cruising with these ships. Okay, so the Theodore Roosevelt, it's one of the world's largest, it is the world's largest aircraft carrier, okay? Remember, there's only 17 countries that can go to war with one, okay? So this is a massive presence here, okay? 17 countries can go to war with one of these aircraft carriers. They sent one of these and 9 other naval ships from the U.S. and this USS Normandy, okay? But the aircraft carrier, okay, it has, torpedoes, all these weapons. It has 90 fixed-winged aircraft, okay? This is including fighter jets, helicopters, all of the above, okay? And it's nuclear-powered, so it can stay there as long as they have food on board and supplies, okay? This USS Normandy, though, okay, this is the real firepower right here, okay? They have a mix of 122 missiles, 7 different varieties that they can at their disposal at any time. They also have 50 caliber guns, all these missiles, a total of 15 different types of weapons they can use, and they just don't have one or two. They have hundreds of these on this ship. Okay, but these missiles are very capable of taking out any ship around. That's what they were designed for. They're designed to make war, to bring about this destruction that, you know, was prophesied throughout the scriptures. So keep these things in mind. You know, the nations are angry. They're getting upset. They're really trying to position themselves. Russia's trying to position themselves. The United States and the Pope is in the background, you know, guiding things, trying to make sure that one of them comes out on top. And each one of them thinks they're going to. But we know that, you know, it's going to end in all-out nuclear war. And unless Yahweh would step in and stop this, you know, because of the stupidity of mankind thinking that we can make these weapons and this is what's going to protect us, you know, take out our enemies. We just have to make sure we have a bigger gun, okay? Because, you know, if they get a bigger gun, then we're in trouble, okay? So remember these things. You know, Pastor's taught us this. He's explained these things to us. And keep an eye on the news. You know, things are moving forward and leaps and bounds. Every day there's things occurring and you know, it's getting ready for all this whole system to collapse. This system of the people and by the people of enforcing this way of Cain upon the people is getting ready to collapse and it's going to go down. And Yahweh's kingdom is going to rise up out of it and teach these perfect 613 laws. Okay? So with this, I'm going to turn it over to the great Khan Ali and I.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be speaking on the firmament and the microbes that make up the firmament. You know, we know that they're sick. You know, we're getting weather systems gone crazy, storms, you know, Frankenstorms. We're getting drought in areas where food is supposed to be grown. We're getting flooding, excessive flooding in city areas where food is not grown. The whole thing is just upside down because the microbes are sick, who are supposed to be bringing the rain in its time, just enough rain, just enough sunshine, just making everything roll smoothly so we can enjoy life, providing food, providing all kinds of benefits for mankind. But these are sick, and we know they're sick because of the STDs that's going up into the firmament, raping these microorganisms and making them sick. And today, we're going to be looking at how that occurs. Now, this is just like a teaser, you know, like just a tip of the iceberg, what we're going to see come Pentecost. Now, Pastor's been bringing quite a lot of information on this and has been doing so for many years now, but science is just now catching up with some of these things that Pastor's been bringing out. And I'm going to be starting here from, if we turn quickly to Revelations 18, if we look at verse 5, and that'll be on page 982. It says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. And of course, the heaven here refers to the firmament, and the sins of mankind has gone up to heaven. And of course, this is the result of the teaching in unrighteousness that is going out to all the world from the seven hills of Rome. And they're taught that they can have their way, they can get away with it, they can put their faith in other things but Yahweh, they can turn away from the laws of Yahweh and the consequences of what we are seeing right now. So I want to read you this very quickly. This is a combination of a lot of material from various sources here. This is how microbes can make bacteria in the firmament sick. And usually when viruses that attack bacteria, you call them bacteriophages. You know, phage is to eat, you know, phage, eat. So bacteriophage is a virus that eats or feeds or preys on bacteria. Now, there are two possible things that could occur when a virus attacks bacteria. There's two possibilities. One possibility is, of course, the purpose of attacking the bacteria will be to take it over, you know, to hijack the bacterial systems and then use that to multiply to get more viruses produced. So there are two possibilities. One possibility is it could hijack the bacteria, use hijack the genetic machinery of the bacteria and use that to produce more viruses. It'll burst open the bacteria, kill it, you know, that's very quickly, and destroys the bacteria so more viruses are released into the environment. The second possibility is, which is often the case, which is why the firmament is sick right now, is it penetrates the bacteria and deposits its own genetic material in the bacteria from videos that we've seen in the past. And then instead of killing the bacteria outrightly, it doesn't. It just, its own genetic material becomes a part of the bacterial genetic material. And that more like takes over the bacteria and over time makes it sick, and we're going to see some details of it. So that's what we're going to see. There are two possibilities. It could kill the bacteria outrightly, or it could make it sick over a period of time. So it says a bacteriophage infection or a virus, you know, infection follows one of two courses. Lysis, which is the bursting open, lysis, L-Y-S-I-S, which is a bursting open of the bacteria that is killing it, destroying it, or lysogeny, which is the other option. Lysogeny, it doesn't kill it outrightly. Okay, we call such viruses temperate viruses. Temperate meaning not so ill-tempered, you know. It's a less dangerous, well, I wouldn't say it's dangerous all the same, but it doesn't outrightly kill it. All right, so that's a temperate virus. So lysogeny is the other option. Now, if the infecting virus multiplies within the host cell and destroys it, the virus is said to be lytic or virulent. Lysis usually refers to, or lysis, usually refers to the bursting open of the bacterial host cell. On the other hand, if the virus does not replicate, but rather integrates into the bacterial chromosome, the virus is said to be temperate or lysogenic. You could get this from Essential Microbiology by Tammy S. Race McCormick, Research Education Association in 2012. It was published in 2012. The phage in the lysogenic cycle can suddenly become lytic. That is, it can wake up. Because you're looking at the virus latching onto the bacteria, pushing its own genetic material into that bacteria, and then that genetic material is going to find its way to the genome, to the genetic material of the bacteria, and attach to it. It becomes a part of it. So the virus genes are becoming part of the bacterial genes, and then it's able to control the bacteria from then on. The bacteria becomes sick, and we're going to see a little bit more shortly. So the phage, you know, can suddenly become lytic, you know, after a while, and then, you know, it could start to infect other ones. So this is called spontaneous derepression, and it's a rare event occurring in about 10,000 divisions of a lysogenic bacterium. You know, so most of the time you find that it doesn't become lytic. It just stays on there and makes the bacteria sick. It's able to do that because it doesn't kill it outrightly. It just makes it sick to where it's not able to do its job. And there's a name for that here. There's a name that is called. Lysogenic viruses such as Lambda, which affects E. coli, have a different strategy than lytic viruses for their replication. After penetration, that is when it attacks, it latches onto the bacteria and penetrates the bacteria, the virus DNA integrates into the bacterial chromosome, attaches into the bacterial chromosome, becomes a part of it. And it becomes replicated every time, you know, the bacteria duplicates itself. When the bacteria is going to reproduce, And from one bacteria, it splits into two. You have two new ones. The two new ones are going to have copies of the viral genes that was incorporated into the parent cell. So as many generations as there are, they will all be carrying copies of the bacterial genes. So you are going to have, in a very short time, billions of bacteria that are already infected. Only one was infected, but it's giving rise to billions of others who are going to be in that same situation, that are going to be sick. And then before you know it, you're going to be having Frankenstorms, and going to be having rain, excess rain dropping, a month's worth of rain dropping in 1 hour, and things like that is what you're going to be seeing. So usually it's difficult to differentiate between lysogenic bacteria and non-lysogenic bacteria, but lysogenic bacteria is the bacteria now that is sick, all right? So you could say sick bacteria. So usually, except for when you watch the way they behave, is how you see it, but looking at them physically, they look the same, but their behavior changes, okay? So, but in a few situations, the prophage, that is the virus now, the viral genes now, supplies genetic information such that the lysogenic bacteria, that is the bacteria that is sick now, exhibits a new phenotype. That is, you see that there is a change in that bacteria because of the infection that's taking place. You see there is a change. That change is not the kind of, the behavior you now see in the new bacteria is not the usual behavior you see in that type of bacteria ordinarily. It behaves differently. The microorganism becomes changed to where they can no longer perform their jobs, you know, like as climate engineers, as we say. This is called lysogenic conversion. In other words, they've been converted. They've switched sides. They're no longer doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing a different thing because of the viral genes, the genes from the virus that is present in them. Okay, remember, this is raping. It rapes it, puts its own genetic material in there, it sticks with it, and it starts to make it sick. You know, it's no longer able to do its job the way it's supposed to. Okay? So lysogenic conversion has become interesting, or sorry, has some interesting manifestations in pathogenic bacteria. So you're not looking only at the microorganisms in firmament alone. You're also looking at bacteria that is pathogenic, causing human disease. In other words, when this occurs to bacteria, you know, they're capable of causing human disease too, and you're going to see some interesting things here. It says, lysogenic conversion has some interesting manifestations in pathogenic bacteria that only exert certain determinants of virulence, that is, the ability to cause disease is virulence, when they're in a lysogenic state. Hence, Corynebacterium diphtheria, that's a kind of bacteria, Corynebacterium, can only produce toxin responsible for the disease if it carries a temperate virus called phage beta. In other words, that bacteria ordinarily would not cause disease. Remember, they were made for us to enjoy life. But once it's been raped by this virus, this phage beta, then it becomes a disease-causing bacteria. In other words, you don't find Corynebacterium causing disease except it's been infected by the virus. Okay? So only lysogenized streptococci produce erythrogenic toxins. All right? That is toxins that is capable of destroying red blood cells, you know, which causes the skin rash or scarlet fever and some botulinum toxins, all right? In other words, they're producing these toxins because they've been raped, they've been converted, lysogenic conversion, they've been converted, they've been changed from the form that Yahweh made them the way they're supposed to be to other forms, all right? And some botulinum toxins are synthesized only by lysogenized strains of Clostridium botulinum, all right? Clostridium botulinum. So, Corynebacterium diphtheria, you know, which causes diphtheria, whooping cough, only produces diphtheria toxins when lysogenized by beta phage C, and so on. So lysogenization in these pathogenic bacteria is a clear example of bacteria behaving badly because they've been infected by viruses. So you see these things occurring because of the sins of mankind. If we'll turn quickly to Isaiah 24, and that'll be on page 544, I'll just read from verse 4 here very quickly. It says, the earth mourns and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. Of course, we know the earth is a wreck, and it refers to the firmament, you know, a mass of swarming microbes. The earth mourns and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. And the haughty people of the earth languish. That is, they become sick. They languish. The earth also is defiled because of the inhabitants of it. They're defiled by the inhabitants of it because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. And if we look quickly to Leviticus 18, verse 27, 1827, that's on page 97. We'll look at verse 27 there in Leviticus 18. It says, "For all these abominations have the people of the land done who were before you, and thus the earth is defiled, that is, the land has become unholy." Now, this is what we see with this microbes. And will they repent? Will the world turn from sin and change their ways and so these microbes can recover from the sickness and disease that we're seeing them experience and causing this terrible manifestation we see in the atmosphere? But they won't. No, they will not repent. Very quickly, my time is about up. It says here, you know, they turn to pharmaceuticals, but that's what they put their faith in, pharmaceuticals. When instead of turning to Yahweh's laws, they turn to pharmaceuticals as a means of salvation. And this article here says, diabetes drug metformin linked with intersex freshwater fish. And it says, one of the most common type 2 diabetes medication is metformin. But metformin isn't just being found on pharmacy shelves and private medicine cabinets. It's also increasingly showing up in freshwater systems. It's showing up in the water, in the freshwater. Now, new research suggests that it could be to blame for intersex fish. Rebecca Clapper, a researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, has been looking into the drug's prevalence in watersheds, as well as exploring its potential effects on wildlife. It is the chemical we found in almost every sample and in the highest concentration compared to other emerging contaminants, even higher than caffeine, she said in a recent press release. The fish expressing combinations of male and female sex organs are increasingly common in waters downstream from water treatment plants. The phenomenon has mostly been blamed for hormone-related drugs like birth control and beauty products such as acne medicine. Metformin isn't a hormone. Like other diabetes drugs, it targets blood sugar regulation, but it's also been occasionally used to treat hormonal disease, common in women called polycystic ovary syndrome. Clapper believes metformin may act as an endocrine disruptor. So you can imagine having this in public water supply and drinking it. It disrupts the endocrine that is talking about the hormone system, so that people start to see changes in their bodies. They don't understand where it's coming from. It's coming from the water you're drinking, okay? Because when Clapper exposed fish to metformin in her lab, their growth or physical appearance was not altered, but eggs produced by the females showed signs of male and female morphology, that is, appearance, you know, suggesting metformin is indeed disrupting hormone-related reproductive processes. And this is what you're seeing in public water supply, in what so-called fresh water that the world drinks. All right? Like I said before, they're not going to turn from sin. They're not going to repent. And that is why the house of Yahweh is here to teach them to turn this Leviathan around. And that's the power that we're fixing to get now, to be able to watch over these microorganisms to make sure they don't get sick, they do their jobs at the right time. And, you know, as it's promised in Genesis 1:26. And with that, if you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to one of the great sons of Israel, Abel, Yeshurun.
So that's all. The Talmud features the two kingdoms, or the two great powers. Yahweh is all for one kingdom, Satan is all for the other kingdom. You may be seated. I would like to read our pastor's words from the second book of Ezekiel, chapter 7, verse 58. Notice what else he says will be there. This shouldn't surprise you. The kingdom of Satan is against the kingdom of Yahweh. There are only two ruling kingdoms in the universe today. One of them is the kingdom of Yahweh, and the other one is the kingdom of Satan. There are only two ruling kingdoms in the universe today. One of them is the kingdom of Yahweh, and the other one is the kingdom of Satan, which was offered to Yahshua. These two kingdoms have been from the beginning in Genesis 2, verse 9. We are being offered Yahweh's kingdom, but we must choose for ourselves which one we desire, the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of Yahweh. Now I would like to read from the 11th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 2, verse 22. But remember, Genesis 2, verse 9, we see here two trees, but one of them has life and the other has death. Yahweh shows that there are only seven of these works of his, which he prophesied to use that would be the house of Yahweh. And actually called the house of Yahweh that brings all where life is salvation is actually offered. Our faithful and great high priest over the kingdom of Yahweh assumes that it was offered power and authority over Satan's kingdom in Matthew 4, verse 8 through 10. Let's turn there and read it. On page 730. Again, the devil took him up into the exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the magnificence of them. And said to him, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. Then Yahshua said to her, You get away from me, Satan, for it is written, Yahweh your father you must reverence, and him only you must serve. Yahshua taught that the character of Satan's system and her followers should not be in us. We need to have the attitude of servitude, not servitude with an attitude. Now I want to read you a quote from the 12th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 15, verse 3. Yahshua, in calling his disciples to him, when they were wanting to know who would be the greatest, he said, you know, this Nimrod system, it's set up to rule by force. And he said, in Yahweh's kingdom, the greatest ones are those who are going to be like Nora. Praise God, applause. They won't be like the Nimrod system, but that's the difference. That's the difference in the two kingdoms that we see in the world today. Yahshua Messiah has nothing to do with the Nimrod system of rebellion against Yahweh's laws, and he said so himself. Please turn to Yochanan 15, verse 30. You are my brothers if you do whatever I command you. We need to be like our great and faithful high priest over this great kingdom of Yahweh. Yeshua Messiah has nothing to do with the Nimrod system of rebellion against Yahweh's laws, and he said so himself. Please turn to Yochanan 14, verse 30. After this, I will not talk much with you, for the evil beastly governmental system that was from the beginning is coming. It has nothing to do with me. We need to be like our great and faithful high priest over this great kingdom of Yahweh. Yeshua Messiah and choose to come out of this evil beastly system that Satan is over. We need to put all of our energy into serving the great kingdom of Yahweh. Here at the house of Yahweh will soon fill the earth and eventually the whole universe. Stay in the house. Do not fear. Yahweh is with you. May Yahweh bless you all, and I would now like to turn it over to Greka and Gilia Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, going on in the news today, speaking of this evil beastly system the young future priest was just speaking about, and of course, it's falling, as Babylon is falling, it's falling. And this last week in Baltimore, we can actually see an example of that taking place once again in the cities, protests taking place, a man accused of something that now they're saying, no, he didn't do it. A mother actually, watch closely how this lady is being praised for how she corrected her son. And then think about if she would do this in the mall, think about would they arrest her for doing this very same thing that she's actually doing. Watch how she corrects her son. She's being praised for it right now, but if it was in a different or a other environment, think about what they would say. And then we have Vladimir Putin once again remembering, he's stressing that a bear does not need to ask permission from anyone. And he's making it clear they want no part of this democracy that's taking place. And of course, he's talking about this Western democracy that is literally bankrupt, $18 trillion in debt. And he's saying that no one makes decisions for the bear except the bear. So notice what he's saying and listen carefully, because he knows who he's speaking to. It's the one who runs this system. Then we have the earthquakes in Nepal. Deaths are over 6,000. They're still pulling people out. They have nothing to eat, very few things going on for them. And just look at the hopelessness and remember the compassion that we're told we must have. And what can we do for them? Is there anything we can do for them? And of course, preparing our minds to be teachers is the best thing we can do for these people. The Catholic Church, once again, people still pouring out of there. They're leaving. They're going to need a place to go. They're tired of the sickness that's taking place. And then an article talking about the internet and when the conception of the internet was first considered. And of course, pay close attention to that date when the idea first came up. And then cyber war. There's a great special that was done this week bringing information about this war taking place in heaven, this war of satellites taking place. Where, remember, even the bombs the United States drops are called smart bombs, and they're guided by satellites. Well, if you want to take out a country and avoid being bombed, what do? Well, we show how China actually just shot down a few years ago, and we'll get to those years quickly, in 2007. Remember the nuclear baby, 2007? Well, China shot down one of their own satellites to make sure they could do it with a ballistic missile. So they can do it. They made sure they can do it. Also in 2007 with this cyber war, there was more information stolen from the Pentagon than books that are actually contained in our Library of Congress. And it was the confidential information about our military that was stolen by other countries, all in 2007. Remember the hatred that came up in 2007 against one man, one spokesman? And we stood with him, we had to stand with him, and he's told us to learn this compassion. The most hated man on the face of this earth has done what Yahshua said, love everyone. Love them by learning to teach, so we can teach what we've learned. At this time, if we can go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohen Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Hey, you're looking great. Hey, Yahweh. You may be seated. I love you too. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Everything is looking up. This war in heaven, who would have ever thought that? The ones that read the Holy Scriptures, they're the ones that that knew it was coming. I would like for everyone to really pay attention today, because this news, you got to keep it in mind what we're bringing. We're not just showing it for entertainment. We're showing it to show that these prophecies, the prophecies, can you hear me now? Pay close attention. Don't be talking, playing with your fingers or anything. Just get everything I say, every single thing I say. The reason we show this is to show that these prophecies are coming to pass one by one. Now, if a being is smart enough to foretell the prophecy, and you're smart enough to listen to the one sent that explains this to you, you will make it into the kingdom. If you don't, and you don't pay close attention to me, you will let things bother you. You'll let things bother you that you should have had in your mind, you know, already from the peaceful solution, to have calmed that situation down. But instead of calming that situation down, you'll let Satan pull you deeper into it. And pretty soon you'll be picking up sticks to hit somebody with, or hit them with your fist, or maybe you'll be thinking about a gun. How could I go get a gun and kill this person? These things will start entering your mind. This you've got to overcome. Remember? Remember? Remember, Cain? Why are you angry, Cain? Because you haven't got sense enough to listen to Abel. That's why you're so angry, Cain. That's why you would pick up a stick and hit somebody, right? Slap them, hit them with your fist, shoot them with a gun. That's what the world is doing. That's what Satan has led the world into. Right. Agree? Yes. This is a Sabbath bread sack. Such a beautiful message. These classes, now these are the classes that started here this week or last week, and I've heard nothing but great reports on these. Well, it says it all right here. These classes are inspiring and bring us great joy. They are better than any new toy. I like that. I like the message that is going out. It's a beautiful thing what we're doing, what Yahweh prophesied we would do. See, that's the thing. What we're here according to prophecy. Yahweh said, in the last days I will establish my house, and we're it. Right now we need someone who can speak French, or can proofread it for us. Does anyone here fits that bill? French. I told him I speak Oki. Would that be fair enough? No, that won't do. We need somebody that can read and interpret French. I guess we're going to have to go to another source. The ultimate showdown, that's what one of our five-year-olds spoke on this morning. The ultimate showdown of righteousness versus evil being played out. It's being played out right now. This is Yahweh's doing. This is a prophecy that said this was going to take place. The audience that we're covering right now, today while I speak, we're covering 222 million, that's what it says, 222,637,500. Wow. Fox News alone has got 4,420,893. NBC audience has 3,845,993. These are people we're reaching right now. International Business Times view release. Online news and business, location New York City, audience 1,699,366, NBC type television affiliate, location Indianapolis, Indiana, audience 5,000,000. 73,465. Now, that's the one, the ultimate showdown. The ultimate showdown of righteousness versus evil being played out now. Do y'all have that thing for proofreading yet, that one? No? Okay. You'll get it soon. You'll get it soon. It'll be out very soon. The ultimate showdown of righteousness versus evil. This is a number two report from a totally different location now, global and so forth. And this is 17 million, 600, but you can add that to that 222 million. That's another one. What you'll see if you were there looking up in New York in Times Square, you will see this right here. Can you make that out? It's better in color, but they haven't got the color one to me yet. But that is on Times Square. Reaching a bunch of people, a bunch of them. The ultimate showdown of righteousness versus evil. And that is the picture, too, that you will see on this article being played out now, says Israel Hawkins, pastor at the House of Yahweh, writes new publication this week showing how prophecy says there are two religious works. Prophecy says there are two religious works. Got that? Going head to head, and what the outcome will be. Now that's in this article. Yisrael Hawkins, pastor and overseer of the House of Yahweh, has written a new article this week that outlines a spiritual showdown. He says Bible prophecy will be fulfilled. Yisrael says Israel lays out the key players in this showdown and gives proof of how he knows exactly who they are. Those two powers are the tree of righteousness of Yahweh and the tree of evil like the gods. And Eve, Cain, and the Nimrod system. By means of murder, violence, force, and continual war. That's what picking up a stick, that's what it leads to. That's what hitting with your fist leads to. Parents, don't teach your children to fight. Teach your children, do not fight. He who lives by the sword. Remember, that's the Savior's words. Teach them to be like Yahshua. He's our example, not some idiot that don't have sense enough to resist a fight and use the peaceful solution and say, hey, calm down. You know, this is not the peaceful solution. Use your brain instead of your bronze. But teach your children this. Teach them to obey the peaceful solution that Yahweh, the character education that Yahweh is offering. You remember I told you about the great Yehuda Hawkins that rejoiced because the man spit in his face? Now, he could have got mad about that and killed the man, couldn't he? But he didn't. And I said, man, I would that would have occurred to me. I felt such joy that he resisted it. And I said, I would I had that chance. And I got it. same man. continual war. Be that way. Be that example. What did Yahshua tell you? Somebody gets mad and slaps you? What do? Turn the other cheek. I know. You think you can't. You think you can't. You think you're not man enough, don't you? It takes a very strong man to do this. Like Yahshua himself. Well, the next time you'll have this sermon in your mind, maybe that will help you, right? We're not like the Pope. We're not like the gods. No, we're not out here to hurt. We're here to help. And these people that maybe they did slap you, maybe they killed you, but one of these days they're going to be worshiping at your feet, begging for the information you got here in Yahweh's house, and you practice that information, and now you become a priest in Yahweh's kingdom, his great kingdom, which was offered from day one. Chapter 3 in the beginning. Let's see. Brought forth the tree of evil. That's what Cain brought forth. That's why his brother got killed at his hand. He brought forth the tree of evil. The tree of evil, what is it? He just told you there. It's full of anger, fighting, continual war. That's what we're looking at. All this news that we gave you here, that's where it's coming from. Is anybody winning the battle? No, it just keeps getting stronger. And their sticks keep getting bigger. Which has, tree of evil, which has peaked in this generation, Israel says, with weapons of mass destruction. That was their choice, and the choice of the world today, Israel says. He says there's more than just a symbolic trees. They are more than just symbolic trees. They are actually groups of people with leaders. In his letter, he names them and gives scriptural references for each. He shows the history between these two powers and how it has led up to his ultimate showdown. Israel says that in the past, evil has been allowed to triumph over righteous groups and has reigned supreme for quite some time now. But, he says, their time is almost up and Yahweh's righteousness will prevail and never be defeated again. That's you if you don't turn to fighting and war. Although this might sound like some Hollywood feature film set to be released soon. Yisrael says this is a real life scenario being played in real time with all activities foretold in advance. This is not a fictitious story. It's real and it's taking place right now. You've got to know who these two powers are, what they are doing, who will win, and how you fit into the whole picture, Yisrael added. To read this post, go to and gives the website, which is several in here you can go to read that whole newsletter that was written. The tree of evil, of course, of evil like the gods. Here's part of it. Tennessee students fed 6-year-old pork. this is really hilarious now. Been frozen for 6 years. Let me read you this other one. It says, meat dating to 2009 was reportedly served to students in one Tennessee school district. Students in Hawkins County, Tennessee. If you remember, I told you that my great-great-grandparents, when they came fleeing for their lives from Europe, they settled in Tennessee, got off the ship in Tennessee, and I just found it out that I said it's either Tennessee or Kentucky, but we found out yesterday from another source, before I saw this article here, by the way, that it was Tennessee, but my ancestors migrated then to Texas. And when they came to Texas, they said, one of my uncles said, when he came to Texas, he said, prairie grass, bluegrass, was so tall, a cow had to raise her head before you could see her. She was out there grazing. Now, this is the grass that our forefathers in Texas wanted to get rid of, and they got rid of it. The same grass the people in Kentucky, going back the other way from where the Hawkinses came from, Tennessee and Kentucky, that area, they took it to Kentucky, and the bluegrass of Kentucky became their, from Texas, became their state grass. anyway, students in Hawkins County were served a 6-year-old pork roast that had been frozen and then thawed, according to World Health so-and-so. USDA guidelines. This is their law now. Now, this is just some of the many laws that's passed, but USDA laws states that uncooked meat should not be frozen for more than 12 months. So what did they do when they told them? Well, go ahead and serve it, but keep it a secret. Now, remember Isaiah 65:5. Yahweh shows that this evil religion that follows Satan, the evil of the gods, they serve pork. They eat swine. Remember that? They eat swine, and of course, this affects their brain, as we've brought out in some of the works that I've brought out, the writings on microorganisms, these microorganisms from the trichina in pork. It actually gets into the brain. This will affect you now. This will affect you and make you angry. You'll be filled with anger. And this was actually scientifically proven, and scientific reports given to them. Well, of course, the Yahweh says don't eat pork. That's one of Yahweh's laws. He says don't eat swine's flesh. So the world, some of the people that come partially out of the world, They don't know what they're eating. They don't listen to the 1 cent. So they're buying food on the market that has pork in it, but thinking they're living a pork-free life when they're actually not. Neither do they have their own butcher shop, so they do what they can. They also have unclean servants come in and take care of them, like the Jews in New York. They call them Jews. I don't call them that, but that's what they're called in the paper. The Jews in New York who brought in housemaids who ate pork and handled their dishes and washed their dishes, cooked their foods, and therefore passed on the trichna to the groups of Jews living in New York. Well, of course, this is changing due to our efforts. The work we're doing and the reason it's, you know, going out to the news media. And Yahweh has made a change here to where the news media has latched on to this, I think due to the fact that Yahweh raised me up and made me the most hated man on earth and got the attention. Well, that said, well, is that Israel Hawkins that they're just saying they had a $10 million bail on the man worse than Al Capone? Well, why was I worse than Al Capone? I taught the laws of Yahweh. And there was no racist in his group. In fact, he had everyone from every nation there. So, no hatred either. Well, here's another now that's turning. The God of the Bible has a name. It is not Allah. It is not Allah. I have said that I thought Allah came from Hamal, who was the moon god of Mecca. Others have said it is Phoenician, but the God of Bible has a name. The Psalm says, "O give thanks unto," and he puts Lord, "for he is good and the mercy endures forever." You know that it says Yahweh, "for he is righteous and his mercy endures forever." We have it translated unto the Lord, he says. Now get this. This is a well-known preacher. And he's saying, we have it translated unto the Lord. And his name is, in Hebrew, he who causes everything to be. That's what he is. The God of the Bible is the one who caused everything else in the universe to be. Now, he's right about all of that. Yes, he's right about it. He is the creator of the entire universe, and his name is Yahweh. The man that wrote this, he is a very well-known TV evangelist, has been for years. I've known him for years. His name, 700 Club, Pat Robertson. And now he's right. And now he's confessing that the name is Yahweh. Hopefully he'll come on through and do the rest of it. He who confesses the name Yahweh must depart from evil. Remember? Evil? Remember that? Evil? Like what? Yes. 3 verse 5. Evil like the gods. Evil like the gods. Pretty soon they'll get to noticing there is a difference between Yahweh and the gods. Now get this one. We will not obey. Christian leaders threaten civil disobedience if Supreme Court legalizes gay marriage. See, this is one more step down for Babylon. Babylon is falling. And there's certain, praise Yahweh. I can just see this. This is on Fox News, And they're saying, we will not obey. Christian leaders are saying, we will not obey. Christian leaders threaten civil disobedience if Supreme Court legalizes gay marriage. Well, of course, no one mentioned the scriptures in here, but they should have used some to show what the scripture said about it too. Because they, the ones who were under the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who all ate pork. That's as Isaiah said, they all ate pork. They were the violent leaders who took over the land of Israel. They took over the temple that Solomon built. They had their God worship set up everywhere before Solomon died. And of course, they owned the temple. That is, they controlled it by force, as the Savior said in Matthew 12:15. They controlled the temple. Violent men took it by force. Well, they ate pork, of course. And of course, they were sodomites, as Jeremiah 23 said, that was trying to turn the whole world to sodomy. What are they doing today? They're still trying the same thing. But there are groups now that are standing up and they're saying, no, we're not going to allow this in our city. We're not going to allow it in our states and so forth. But, you know, the fight is on. We respectfully warn the Supreme Court not to cross that line. they're saying, well, there are many things we can endure. Redefining marriage is so fundamental to the natural order and the common, they say, good, that this is the line we must draw and one we cannot and will not cross. The pledge states. He said that once same-sex marriage is elevated to the level of protected status, it will transform the face of society and will result in the beginning of the end of Western civilization. Gender becomes pointless when government adopts same-sex marriage. Dotson said the legalization of same-sex marriage could fracture the nation. Well, you heard what the great Deacon Tovia brought out about the cyber wars. He didn't show it, but the name of that activity where they actually bombed nuclear bombs in space. Guess what it's called? Rainbow. Well, if you put two and two together, you see this mark on my tallit, the rainbow that was given to Yahweh's house. That's Satan saying, this is what we're going to do to the house of Yahweh. Look, come and look, and I'll show you what we're going to do to the house of Yahweh. The commentators, I intend to show you this, but I won't have time today. But the commentator says, when speaking of the protection that Moshe told our forefathers about, and says, if you'll come and you'll keep these laws and be righteous like Yahweh, he will protect you. He said there was actually a sheet, the Hebrew described, this is a commentator, and the Hebrews, the language describes a thin sheet that was placed over this district that was about four miles in diameter, that Samuel judged, that Samuel actually judged. from the Galilee to the Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea is 65 miles. This is what I've told you before. Only 3 days' journey, but it took them 40 years to get there. Well, of course, Yahweh is the one that led them around and around and around, but he wasn't leading them like it shows in the scriptures. He was leading them in scripture. He was teaching them for 40 years in this area called Galilee. And Samuel was one of the judges. Of course, Eliah and Elisha was one of them too, in the same district. And we will see all that. And Yahweh says, let me fight your battles for you. I'll fight your battles for you. Now listen to me, every one of you. This is going to be a showdown. Very, very soon it's going to be a showdown. These things are not shown for no reason. This is coming from the sky. This is named. Yeah, this name was inspired to be given to them, the rainbow. And they knocked that rainbow out of the sky. Well, we're not in the sky. We're down here on earth, and this is where we're going to stay, in the protected place, until we're changed. But they say the Hebrew words describe, they say, a thin shield that nothing could get through. And absolutely nothing could get through. Not rockets, not nuclear bombs, nothing could get through this thin shield to those Israelites that was under that protection. Well, of course, they got shut off from Yahweh. Remember that? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. They got shut off from Yahweh. How? They turned to sin. Remember what they did to Samuel? The elders rose up against him and said, we don't want Yahweh to rule over us. We want to worship gods. And that's what Yahweh said ever since they left Egypt. Egypt, what religion is it? It's called Coptic. There's no difference between the Coptic religion and the one that sits on the seven hills of Rome, except the name. But if you put two and two together, the Egyptians worship all gods. Universal, pronounced Catholic, that's what Catholic means, universal, meaning they worship all gods. There's no difference in them except the leaders, the priest. The priests there want their kingdom left alone. So does the one in China. They want theirs left alone too. So does the one in Russia. You don't bug a grizzly bear about this, about what he eats or where he moves to. And they're saying, you know, we want our own religion. We don't want the Catholic religion. Well, that's what you're seeing here too. You're seeing them like they did in Israel. Remember, Jochanan came to Jerusalem saying to the king, it's not right that you should have your brother's wife. Why? Because one of the Ten Commandments. Well, why in the Pope, why in the Catholic Church keeping the Ten Commandments today? They're worshiping the same gods that was worshiped in Israel, in Egypt. 1 Samuel 8 says, first nine verses tells you, Yahweh says, Samuel, let them go their own way and choose their kings. And he said, and then he told them what would be taking place after that. But he said, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me that they might turn and serve their gods. That's exactly what they're doing on the seven hills of Rome and what they're doing in Egypt. And what is it bringing them? If you've seen all the ruckus it's bringing, wars and killings and murderings in Egypt, it always has. What took place in Israel when they started choosing kings to rule. Well, the king would become a little bit strong, so he'd send his army to capture this city. Go get that city and bring it in here. I want it over here. I want those people over here. Bring all their wealth to my palace. So if he got away with it, he sent and got some more. The Herodians, who built the mighty army of Rome, the Roman Catholic army, the Roman, Holy Roman soldiers, who Daniel said in 11:31, chapter 11:31, they will pollute the sanctuary of strength, meaning the house of Yahweh. They were allowed to do this. They were allowed to pollute it. Yahweh allowed them to destroy it and keep it out of sight for 1,500 years. I was speaking with some of the elders this morning about the lawyers told us, you could change your name to House of God and none of this would be occurring to you. You wouldn't be suffering all this persecution. Even now we get letters saying, if you could take Israel Hawkins' name off of those teachings, off of those booklets, just take his name off, remove it, then we will take it. Well, no one has fallen for that trick yet. I praise Yahweh. But see, this is what they wanted to do too with Yahweh. If you could, don't speak to us in the name of Yahweh anymore. That's what they told Yeremia. You do this anymore, you speak to us in the name of Yahweh anymore, and we're going to kill you. They did the same thing with Yahshua. They removed his name also, remember? So this is a plan of Satan. It's not just because of these people. They know nothing about me. But they have a hatred for me. A real stiff hatred. When Kohan Benaiah first came here, he was a bricklayer, and I went to talking to him about scriptures, and he came to services. I believe we were holding services in the house or at that time, but anyway, he was working for a bricklayer, and he lost his job, and his truck went down, so he didn't have any wheels, so he couldn't go anywhere. I had a captive audience there to him and his children. But his boss was, it turned out, was a man who studied with my brother in a place called Romney, not too far from here. I taught there too. I taught with him. But Jacob was the leader there. J.G. was his name. Everybody knew him by J.G. They knew me by Bill, Buffalo Bill. That was before the name change. So the man that he worked for, he found out he was working for the house of Yahweh. And of course, he had already fallen out with my brother Jacob over scriptural matters that he didn't want to change to. The Romney group chose my brother over him as their leader. Well, he was really, really hateful. The way I met him before that, many years ago before that, I was working in Grim Mill Elevator. He came there and he wanted some whole wheat flour, and no one would make it for him. And I asked the chief miller, I said, what'd that man want? He's disappointed about something. They said, oh, he's wanting some whole wheat flour, but I'm not going to make it. And I said, well, I will. So I went running after the man and brought him back in, and I asked him what he wanted, you know, and he told me, and I said, well, I'll make it for you. So I put together the whole wheat flour for him. And that's the only dealings I had with him, was that one thing. But later, turns out he's the one that was in the work there at Romney with my brother. He's dead now. But anyway, he wrote Benaiah a really nasty letter about me. He didn't really accuse me of anything solid, but he insinuated. So I wrote him a letter, and I said, I can't remember any dealings with you except I made you whole wheat flour when no one else would, and that's the only dealings I remember. But I said, if I've offended you in some way, please let me know, because I want to repent. He wrote me back a very kind, repentant letter and said, you're right. And he said, you have helped me when no one else would. And he said, I really have nothing against you at all. The letter was really great. But then later, the hatred developed again, and he started doing the same thing. I don't think they have any control of their minds. It's like Yeshua said to the Pharisees, he said, your leader is so-and-so. You can pronounce the name Yahweh, but that doesn't mean you're keeping his law. You can read the Peaceful Solution Character Education. You can study it. You can sit in the classes and hear it. But that doesn't mean you're keeping it. What you've got to do is make up your mind, in your own mind. Now, you can overcome anything. If the pork is still in your body, you can get it out by resisting it. If fighting is in your body, you can get it out by resisting it. Yahweh said to Cain, sin is with you, but you've got to overcome it. Well, how do you overcome it? You're told that by the disciple Jacob. He said, resist Satan and she'll flee from you. Resist it. How do you resist it? Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Put a knife to your throat if you're thinking about food that you know you shouldn't be out there eating. Put a knife to your throat when you sit at the king's table unless you eat that stuff that he offers you. Remember Daniel in the facing the lion's den? Was he afraid for his life? No. Well, he wouldn't eat the king's food. Why? He knew it. They were eating the pork and stuff that was furnished by the gods, following after the gods, eating swine's flesh, worshiping the dead is also mentioned there, memorials to the dead. All of these things is done by the Coptic religion. They're still worshiping dead pharaohs that haven't known anything for thousands of years. They're dead. But they're worshiping. It's like talking to a rock wall in Jerusalem. Sometimes I just think I'm just talking to a rock wall, he said. I think the Lord is asleep. That's what Benedict said. So there's no answers to their prayers, and the people are saying, we're not going to do it anymore. Christianity. Christians are leaving the faith in droves, and the trend isn't slowing down. That's the one that's standing beside me in New York on the something square television. They're leaving. And the states in the United States are saying you're not going to be teaching our children the sodomy anymore. Praise Yahweh. Some of them. Now, will they have the backbone to back that up? Or will they give in when the going gets rough? You know, you can't give in, brethren. You're here because Yahweh pulled you. He drove you here for his kingdom. For his kingdom. And you're offered a place in that kingdom. You remember what he said to the children of Israel when Moshe brought them out of the land of Egypt? A bunch of Coptic Christians is what they were. They paint them up to be people who kept Yahweh's laws. That's what Christianity says. Them people kept Yahweh's law. That's what was wrong with them. They hated the ones that did, that's for sure. But those people that Moshe went down there and got, they were nothing but Coptic Christians. And he brought them by promise, saying, here's a land flowing with milk and honey. So they brought them to the place where Jethro had the house of Yahweh, and he trained them for 40 years. He had to actually let the old ones die off in order to get new ones that was actually trying to live the laws of Yahweh. And this is what Moshe was training there for 40 years. And then, after that, they went to the place where the house of Yahweh, all of them went to that place. Before that, they couldn't get near it. They wouldn't even let them get near the place. We'll see all this in Scripture. I can show it to you. It'll take a little bit of time, but I can show it to you and will. I'd be glad to. But these people were not converted to Yahweh's laws. Yahweh gave them the Ten Commandments on the Mount Sinai. Remember this Mount Sinai? We had some people go over there looking for that, you know. They're still looking for Mount Sinai, and they're thinking they're going to discover it one of these days. They don't know that it's Mount Sinai. They don't know that it came from two words. Now, these are the smart ones. Some of them do know that it came from two words, but they can't put them together. But it's actually taking out a sin and raising you up. That's what that word Sinai means. The two words, that's what it means. But anyway, the people, they rose up against Samuel, and then started your days of the kings. Well, what took place in the days of the king? War. Continual war. Read about it. The kings. Read 1st and 2nd Kings and you'll see what they were doing. They were killing each other. And of course, it's king against king, king against king. And they were every one of them trying to build a strong kingdom, like the Nimrod system said. Well, Rome did build one. They built them a Roman army that polluted the sanctuary of strength. That was the house of Yahweh. And then after they got Rome built up real strong and Babylon built up real strong, they destroyed it, and that's where they moved to, taking all the artifacts with them. I'm telling you, thousands of years of history in a nutshell. But you need to get it. The reason I repeat it, I know you're not getting it the first time. You really need to get this history in your mind and what Yahweh led and showed. This is the article, We Will Not Obey. These are the Christians that are falling away. And of course, my time is up. But the Christians is falling away now. Babylon is fallen. You got to keep that scripture in mind. What is the reason it's fallen? Yahweh shows that there's somebody opposing it and pecking away at their beliefs and showing what the scripture actually says. A lot of Noras, men and women, are doing a lot of gossiping. And of course, the word's getting back to the Pope, and he's like that. He's deeply worried. The house of Yahweh is growing, as you can see from the audience we have. It's growing every week, and before this thing is over, there will be 2 billion people. Will they be converted? No, not till you get a hold of them. How do they get converted? They've got to go where? Right. That will never change. Those are laws. They have to go to that place. That's where Moshe brought the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes of Christianity. All Christianity. Brought them to Israel, to a particular place. Wouldn't let them go near it, but went there and got instruction himself and brought it back to them. He went to this great high mountain called Sinai. Well, he actually went to the house of Yahweh, the uplifted place. Same thing that Isaiah 2:2, Micah 4 says, in the last days I will establish my house. Now here on the one hand, he says, these people, woe to you shepherds, but in the last days, this was Yeremia, but in the last days you're going to see a gathering like you've never seen before. You remember that? Jeremiah 23. Woe to you shepherds that are feeding my people pork and lies. And then he turns the very next verses there. He says, but in the last days, then he starts showing you a work. In Zechariah, He says, he shows you this is the lid that Satan tried to squash. This is the work that Satan tried to squash. But here I'm going to show you two women that are taking forth, means the last two eras of the house of Yahweh, that is carrying the message of Yahweh. In Micaiah 3, listen to this, Micaiah 3, he says, Mount Zion's going to be plowed like a field. In the very next verses, he says, but in the last days, did you see that? Mount Zion's going to be plowed like a field. Yeshua said to that same thing, the temple's going to be thrown down, not one stone left standing. But in the last days, Yeshua said, verse 14 of Matthew 24, in the last days, here's a man that's going to be bringing the word of Yahweh. In the last days. Micaiah said, verse 12, I think it is, Mount Zion's going to be plowed like a field. But in the last days, chapter 4, in the last days, I will establish my house. Yeshua said that's the last generation. You see how plain this is that he's talking to you here, showing you where my house is? That's where you're sitting, right here, right now, in his house. It's called the house of Yahweh. David said, I will remain in the house of Yahweh forever. Daniel said, this person is going to come after the saints and destroy them, change the laws, fight against the laws, fight against the name of Yahweh. That's all in chapter 7. But, he said, Daniel said, but, in the last days, yes, in the last days, these kingdoms are going to be given to the saints of the Most High. Chapter 7, verse 27. So, this work, he's prophesied it out for you. He laid it all out for you. Now, remember this. In Genesis 49, Genesis 49, verse 10, he said, Yada is going to be lawgiver. Remember what Yada was? Stupid, violent fighter. Ruthless. He became ruthless. Like the mighty boxer or the cage fighters. They love to fight. Like the football players. It says, I wake up every morning wanting to knock somebody's teeth down their throat. That must be a miserable way to live. Well, that's the world today. But on the other hand, Yahweh now has, chipping at that big block, that big mountain, he has the house of Yahweh, as he said, as he prophesied, in the days where their sticks of fighting have become nuclear. Yes, they got nuclear. They can have war in heaven by pushing a button here on earth. And as the news said, yes, there's war in heaven. The powers of the heavens are going to be shaken. The stars of heaven, some of them will fall to the earth because of this war they're going to have in heaven. And as the news article showed now, they're really getting worried because they know each enemy, if the enemy can knock out their satellites, did you see where this takes the other nation? Back to the conventional warfare. These satellites, they're the one. The satellite guides that missile and can pinpoint it to the exact place that they want it sent to. It can even send it through a window, as you saw in the bomb. It can actually, it's so accurate that it sent this bomb through the man's window into his office and exploded. That was in Palestine. Now that's the weapons we're dealing with. China, as you saw on the news, as the great Kohan Eliyah just brought out on the news, China put their own satellite up there. And then they sent a rocket to show the United States what they could do to their satellites that guides their weapons. Well, what do you think the United States did? Repent and said, we need to get rid of all these weapons and turn to Yahweh, the peaceful solution? No, he hadn't learned that lesson yet, but they will. They are going to say that eventually because of the work that Micaiah prophesied, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Yechizkiah, all of them prophesied of you sitting here, right here, and you are going to teach the nations. 2 billion of them. That's what you're training for right now. But China showed them that they could knock that weapon, that satellite, out of the sky. Think about that. That satellite is orbiting the Earth. And here, they sent one rocket, just one rocket, and it hit that thing dead on. Think of the odds. You people who know how to shoot a gun at a moving target, this guided that thing, that missile, right to it and knocked it out of heaven. And they said the debris is still causing trouble from that one satellite that they exploded. The debris in heaven is still causing trouble. Well, of course, what we're facing now, right now, and what you're training for, but if you're not right with Yahweh, you're not going to receive His power, and you won't be protected either. You might be among the group and get protection in some way, but eventually you'll slip up and go. You really need to repent, and you need to convert. You need to get all these lessons in your mind totally that we're bringing now. This is a wonderful thing that Yahweh has put together here in His house, both for the men and the women. It's the best toy you could play with right now. Now, Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.
I love you, Pastor.